with Darkstar.
CBS News, I'm Bill Vitka. Casualty count. Following an Allied raid against targets in southern Iraq, Baghdad is adding up its losses. The latest in the Iraqi capital from CBS News correspondent Bob Simon.
The official Iraqi news agency has now come out with casualty figures. It says that one Iraqi soldier was killed and three were wounded, and that one Iraqi civilian was killed and four were wounded in what it calls a bombing of a residential area near Basra. Now, whether the action last night is going to succeed in altering Saddam's behavior is something we're going to see and see over the next few days. Whether it succeeds in weakening Saddam is another question entirely, and I think very doubtful.
The message Saddam Hussein had in a televised address to his people was one of defiance and a call to fight against the coalition. But Iraq's UN ambassador says Baghdad is ready to yield and allow UN weapon inspectors to fly in Iraq in UN aircraft and to stop raiding equipment in the demilitarized zone between Iraq and Kuwait. Border raids will be more difficult with the U.S. sending a battalion of about 1,200 troops to Kuwait. The air raids against Iraq enlisted more than 100 Allied warplanes. There were eight targets at a half dozen sites in southern Iraq, radar and missiles. Damage assessment is not complete, but the pilots who flew the mission say there's no doubt they hit their targets.
A lot of guys are patting each other on the back. There's a lot of elation. Some folks are gathering around and watching videotapes of the hits themselves and of the targeting that was done, and there's a lot of smiles.
Bill Clinton said he stands shoulder to shoulder with President Bush on the need for the raids. In Long Island, a 10-year-old girl, Katie Beers, who disappeared 2 weeks ago, has been found in a secret room in the home of the man who first reported her missing, John Esposito. More from newswoman Ellen Mitchell of CBS radio station WCBS on the search and Esposito.
He told Suffolk County Police that little Katie Beers had been kidnapped by a stranger at an amusement center. But all the while, police say John Esposito, a family friend, was holding the 10-year-old girl as a prisoner in a secret room at his home. The child spent 17 days chained up in a hidden crawl space, complete with food, water, a bed, toilet, and TV. Suffolk police had searched the home, but police officer Kevin Fallon says they had to remove a concrete slab, finally, to find her.
Detectives then went down a long, narrow shaft, which led to another locked door, behind which was a small 6-foot by 7-foot wood panel room which held Katie Beers.
The attorney for Esposito expects his client to be charged with kidnap, sexual abuse, and sodomy. Ellen Mitchell for CBS News, Hopog, New York.
Rain has set off flooding and the threat of mudslides in Northern California. Up to 5 inches of rain fell in the San Francisco Bay Area. There have been evacuations at a mobile home park and of homes in Vallejo near San Francisco. This is CBS News.
Now you can find the answers to all your questions about managing your money in the Wall Street Journal Guide to Understanding Personal Finance. This easy-to-read 173-page guide retails for $13.95, but it's yours free with your paid subscription to the Journal. Call now and get 13 weeks of the Journal and the valuable guide, all for only $37. Call toll-free in the continental U.S., 800-992-9400. That's 800-992-9400 for the Wall Street Journal.
It's so dark in here. Is the light burned out?
The light is loose.
The light's loose?
And if you stand on this chair, you'll see a loose light.
What a fun way to learn Spanish.
Well, in Spanish, chair is silla, and loose means light.
So stand on a chair, silla, loose, light. Oh, I get it.
You can learn Spanish, French, German, or Japanese, too. Not by memorizing, but by visualizing and association.
So sit down on your silla and call National Dynamics Speed Tapes at 1-800-545-1985.
1-800-545-1985.
A-S-O-C-K-S.
Those supporting abortion are looking to Congress and Bill Clinton in the wake of a Supreme Court decision that says a law designed to protect blacks from the Ku Klux Klan cannot be used by federal judges to ban anti-abortion demonstrators from blocking abortion clinics. Those opposed to abortion, like Randall Terry of Operation Rescue, clearly felt emboldened by the decision.
We're going to be in D.C. in force during the inauguration, so this is certainly a great jolt forward for us, because we were afraid a federal court there might try and intimidate us.
Abortion rights activists say they fear the decision will lead to a rise in attacks on abortion clinics. 10 states lead the nation in quality child care, according to the magazine Working Mother. They include California, Connecticut, Colorado, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Vermont, Washington, Wisconsin, and Hawaii. Child care tends to be better in larger metropolitan areas. It would be better everywhere, the magazine says, if parents demanded it. I'm Bill Vitka, CBS News.
I'm Dark Star. This is Night Talk. Hey,
those CBS people out of here. What's wrong with them? I'm Dark Star. This is Night Talk on WCCO Radio. Iraq, we'll talk about Iraq. We'll talk about Saddam Hussein. We'll talk about Kuwait and the troops and all that stuff. Here on Night Talk, we'll talk about whatever you like in addition. Here. I got a whole bunch of notes here and all kinds of things here. Marianne and I did massive research. We have the morning edition of the Star and Tribune. The headline reads, Allies Bomb Iraq Missile Sites. We've got it all here. But we want to know what you think. 989-9226-989-WCCO1. 800-327-8255. Hit the theme.
Y'all still want me to come with you?
Yeah, you can come. Come tonight. Certainly can. Night Talk. Oh, my. Oh, me, oh, my.
Bright lights, city gone.
Night Talk with Dark Star on WCCO Radio, 989-9226-989-WCCO, 1-800-327-8255. Call me up tonight and tell me what you think about Iraq or anything else that you care to discuss with me this evening. We'll do all that here on WCCO Radio, but first, here's that weather dude that ruined your day yesterday, Bill Anderson.
I've been in a disguise. Nobody knows who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was so bad. I thought it was kind of nice after we got through the rush hour aspects of it.
Wearing your Dr. X mask around town today, were you?
Yeah, the hockey outfit, so I can kind of deflect anything that comes my way.
Absolutely.
It's kind of kind of pleasant out there. I've got everything shoveled except today is the day that the snowplow is due to come up our side of the street. So, you know, I'm going to have about 400 pounds of snow to shovel out from that little routine.
But you're just the guy that can handle that task.
Well, give it a shot anyway. We'll give it a shot. Midnight weather map shows that the storm system that did drop anywhere from 8 to 10 inches on the Twin Cities is headed eastbound and in a big hurry. On its trail, it left us with a high of 27 during the day, and right now it's spreading snow through Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Boston, Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa, all reporting snow this hour. We have a narrow ridge of high pressure coming in. It's what we call a dirty ridge. That means it has quite a few clouds associated with it. We'll have just a few flurries right on into the day Thursday. The next storm system is out to the west, and it will head into the middle of the country. It's going to lose a lot of its shape as it crosses the Rocky Mountains and just bring us just a chance of some light snow on Friday. Here's that Twin Cities forecast for overnight. We'll stay mostly cloudy, and there will be a few flurries here and there. Lows upper teens and a north-northwest wind of only 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm not expecting any blowing and drifting overnight. A mostly cloudy and cooler day for Thursday with a chance of flurries. Mainly in the morning, highs near 20, light and variable winds, then mostly cloudy Thursday night, a little bit cooler again with lows about 10. Friday, a cloudy day with a chance of light snow and a high near 23. We'll have a chance of some light snow off and on during the weekend, highs in the 20s on Saturday and Sunday.
What do you mean?
Right now, cloudy skies, wind north at 7 miles per hour. I didn't even pay attention. 92% humidity. We have flurries. We have 20 degrees. We have Dark Star. We have Night Talk. Terrifying.
Yes, we do. Totally terrifying. Ain't that right, Artie, my main man?
Art Goble Ford, Coon Rapids, has a special message for all of you thinking about buying a new car or truck in the near future. While other manufacturers are losing ground, Ford car and truck sales are up over 11%. Why? Because people just like you want Ford quality, service, and satisfaction. And that holds true at Art Goble Ford. Last year, more than 3,000 people bought Ford cars and trucks from Art Goble. Why? They want and get famous Art Goble customer service and satisfaction on great cars, like the completely restyled Probe, Taurus, and Escort. Great trucks, like F-Series pickups, Econoline vans, and Rangers, also all completely restyled. And great prices, like rebate from $300 to $2,000 in all 92 models. And check out the one-price 93 model year Escort. It's all at Art Goble Ford, Coon Rapids. The number one car and truck in the country, service and satisfaction. Art Goble Ford, Coon Rapids. Hurry, these rebates will last only for a limited time.
Night Talk with Darkstar on WCCO Radio. Joining us now is Chris Motter of Basketball Weekly, who's featured regularly on the Steve Cannon Show. Chris, how are you this evening?
Not too bad. How are you today?
I'm doing as well as I can do. Chris, a coaching change for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Sidney Lowe's initial outing, your thoughts?
Well, it seemed like the team played fairly well. It was a low-scoring game. Neither team played it particularly well. Both teams kind of struggled with their shooting.
Let's give them the final score. The Wolves lose tonight, 89-81, to a good San Antonio Spurs club who played without Sean Elliott tonight.
Right. Elliott went out with a back injury, so I think that slowed them down. And David Robinson didn't have a particularly great night. He struggled with his shooting throughout the game. Came out a little bit stronger towards the end to help the Spurs get another win under the new coach, John Lucas.
I thought the team looked motivated tonight. That was as good a performance as I've seen out of a Wolves team all season.
Yeah, they seemed to play inspired for the new coach. Kind of almost a style, kind of like the Musselman style, low-scoring, defensive-type struggle, where they were able to keep themselves in the game most of the way. They had some chances at the end if they would hit some key shots. They had one time where they had five opportunities. They got four offensive rebounds but couldn't score. That could have cut the lead to within one. And they had a couple other good opportunities to possibly tie the game up later on as well.
I like Sidney Lowe. I've always liked Sidney Lowe. I liked him as a player at North Carolina State. I liked him as a player with the Wolves. I liked him as a teacher for Pooh Richardson situation. I liked him as a broadcaster, and I think I'm going to like him as a coach. But let me ask you this, Chris. Can a black coach this day and age motivate black players better than a white coach?
Sometimes you'll hear that. I think he will have an influence with the team because Sidney Lowe is a good college player, but mainly as a pro, he's kind of a journeyman, played in the CBA under Bill Musselman for quite a while. So I think he knows what is required to be successful in the NBA. He definitely did not make it by talent alone. He worked hard and has some good work ethic, and I think that's something that this team maybe hasn't shown consistently throughout their career here. So I think that's something that might be an added plus for the team.
We're with Chris Monitor of Basketball Weekly. Sidney Lowe played on three championship teams for Bill Musselman at Albany with the Patroons. And we saw a little bit of Musselman basketball tonight, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Musselman liked to favor the low-scoring games where it gave them an opportunity if they could get it hot in the fourth quarter to maybe sneak a win. That's the type of style they played tonight. They kept it close most of the way, and given some breaks at the end, they maybe could have cut it closer, maybe even been able to sneak a win out tonight.
Should we allow ourselves, Chris, to be encouraged by this performance this evening?
Well, you kind of wonder how much of it's just the team wanting to play well for the coach in their first home game. I think there's a lot of anticipation on this game with Sidney Lowe. This is his first head coaching opportunity, so I think a lot of that favored into it. Plus, you know, like you said earlier, Elliott being hurt, kind of that he's their number two player for the Spurs, so that definitely weakened that team a little bit. So, you know, they're definitely going to be fired up for the new coach and wanting to prove something, especially since they've been kind of a disappointment that most people say they've been throughout the year. So I think a lot of it kind of rested on that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that type of level of play up for the next couple of weeks.
Of course, Chris Motter of Basketball Weekly. Chris, we're looking forward to having you be a regular feature on our new show when we go to 9 o'clock, and you and I will do a little Pro Basketball Magazine from time to time here, and very much look forward to that.
Appreciate it. Have a nice night, Ben.
You do the same. It's Chris Motter of Basketball Weekly. And when we go to 9 o'clock, Chris will stop by every now and then and give us his thoughts in the NBA. And we'll be back with your thoughts on Iraq and whatever else you got on the plate this evening at 989-9226, 989-WCCO, 1-800-327-8255.